This is Dan Myler, host of the longest-running Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast in the industry, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Join me and my co-hosts, Ryan McDowell and Matt Price from DynastyLeagueFootball.com, as we use 60-plus years of Dynasty experience to analyze news, walk through startup and team-building strategies, and highlight trade targets to keep you on top of your Dynasty League year-round. It's a different topic each week on the DLF Dynasty Podcast, but the common theme is always the same, helping you build the ultimate Dynasty roster. Join me, Dan Myler, along with Ryan McDowell and Matt Price, each week, year-round, for the DLF Dynasty Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Dynasty Crossroads. My name is Peter Howard, at PA Howdy on Twitter. This is a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Yes, I just had to pause to remember what the name of Twitter was. Leave me alone. This week we're going to be talking about shopping lists. And no, seemed like a theme and probably some other stuff. I usually get off on a tangent, let's be honest. But yeah, shopping list, depending on what team situation you're in. Not just players, rough ideas of players I'm looking to target based on different situations, but also players I'm looking to use to target those other players. Yeah, let's do it.
Do you have the time to listen to me grind? Take down the film watchers and learn some at once. I am one of those skeptical of status quo, Bayesian to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I grind my Excel sheets, sometimes pour cold water on heat. When the math's not adding up, you bet I'm checking out. I'm just piling, working to the ground.
Alright, so it's Christmas time, and I am still behind the schedule on the Dynasty Crossroads, running behind the weeks. Believe it or not, I have spent a lot of time this offseason trying to get ahead of the schedule, so instead we could talk about regression candidates because of the high-low lists that I've been making this year, and putting in my seasonal data sheet, my Patreon data sheet, and talking about it on Twitter. But I continue to fail to get ahead of the schedule. I mean, this one's days late. This podcast days late. You know that. Sorry about that. But, you know, anyway, instead, I thought a shopping list theme would be interesting. Now, as we've been talking about on the Wednesday streams, looking at week-by-week dynasty analysis or takeaways or trade potential targets, most of the time with Rush Fisher, Dynasty Outhouse, some of the time with Zach Reed from the Dynasty Dummies, live streams to, you know, places everywhere. Come chat with us if you want live. On Wednesdays, YouTube, Twitch, and that kind of thing. I don't know when how that turned into a promo. Where am I? Yeah, we've been talking, or I've been talking a lot, while Russ scowls at me mostly. He's a very mean man. About how to create lists for yourself and how to go about navigating your own league to find potential trades that are worth it based on your team situation and how your league values players. Now, talking with people live about this kind of thing has taught me a lot about how to not do suggestions anymore, and so I'm going to be throwing caveats at you. I'm throwing names out for potential situations your teams might be in, but I can't stress enough how important it is to really look at your league and honestly consider the value and the effect on your team overall, as well as just get this player, get that player. I think the buy-sell lists and I'm all in on this, standing on this hill till I die stuff takes some of the clarity out of the best way to navigate a dynasty league in different situations. It just is. Like, there are players I completely believe you should sell and completely believe that you should buy, sell, trade for, whatever. And yet in different situations, I would not do that. I would do the exact opposite. Now, most of it is about the trade itself. That's the first caveat. I'm making a little heuristic of mine. It's a piece of advice John Bosch, or something John Bosch said. once, which was, it's not about the timing, it's about the trade offer. And I've really expanded that to mean everything's really about the offer. It's more traditionally said, you know, everyone's for sale for the right price. But honestly, I don't think a lot of us feel that. And also, I don't think it does the job. Essentially, most of the questions I'm getting on those weekly streams about trades, it really comes down to what offer can you get or what offer are you willing to give and that they're willing to accept. And that's kind of everything. But I do want to give you a general idea of how I'm trying to break down my leagues when I am to try and look for players I want to target or players I don't want to target, because it really is different depending on the league situation. There are some players on some teams with the way they're functioning that league that just make them essentially, I can throw out an offer, but I'm pretty sure they're not my guy right now, because our teams are just in the wrong place. My value's in the wrong place for that team, or they're winning or I'm losing, and the opposite would need to be the case. And that brings me to the second caveat. Like, always send an offer and you play that you like. I mean, you've got to send offers, especially if you see a player that you really think you're higher on the most. So I'm not restricting, like, these are the only players. It's more trying to get you into the process of how to break down your league. Look for the players that you like that you might actually benefit your team by trading for them right now or later on the next few weeks. And since it's Christmas, shopping lists just, I don't know, it seemed to fall into place. But let me know what you think. Obviously, as always, if I sound a little echoey, it's because I'm moving my mic around, trying to find a better situation. I know, I just, sometimes you got to change it up a little bit. So, sorry if my sound quality's off. I'm trying to get better. Alright, so where are we? The first list I've got is if you're winning now. I mean, we're really pushing into the playoffs right now in leagues, and if you're not pretty sure that you're really in contention, it's probably time to start thinking the opposite way. I mean, I'm always a fan of trying to win no matter what, but if you're not pretty convinced right now that you have a strong shot to make the final, you kind of at least start having an eye on trying to play both sides of the field at best, rather than go all in right now. But if you are sure you're winning, I just got an interesting DM about a trade question, and honestly the answer is, I don't know. Because really, for the playoffs, you're just kind of hoping you end up with the right players that keep scoring points for those specific weeks. That's why the playoff structure of fantasy football is so frustrating and maddening, and also kind of part of why it's so fun, because it can be frustrating, maddening. I mean, in a sudden death round, a player can just have a bad game, even though you're the better team, you've been the better team all year, and don't want to get into that foo far, you know what I'm talking about. But ultimately, I mean, we don't know. It's where a lot of degenerates dig into strengths of schedule, and I mostly fade it. I just stick with volume. I stick with the signal that works more times out of 10 on average. Because that's all I know how to do. I'm not an expert at breaking down football. I don't know the future. I'm not a genius at numbers or predictions or, you know, intuitive about what the future's going to hold or anything like that. So I just stick to what I know. The trade offer I got asked about was Tyler Lockett for James Robinson, and he has a bye week. He's probably going to win this week, and I know Tyler Lockett just had another good game. And what I told him was, I think you should, because his two running backs are the starters. James Robinson would be a flex, but it sucks because honestly, Tyler Lockett is a better flex most weeks. But it's really about if one of those running backs becomes unavailable during sudden death rounds, you need to find another running back that can put up 15 points. Not 20 like the other two that he's got in there, but he can put up 15. And honestly, he can put up 20, but just being reasonable, he can put up 15 to replace him with. So you're losing something on your flex, but you're securing up that position that is much harder to replace on the fly, and much harder to trust replacing as well. It's certainly for high-end production. But I hate it because you're really giving up value there. The wide receiver wins most trades, no matter what their ages are, if you're looking beyond a year. And Tyler Lockett really is a better flex most weeks because wide receivers win the flex. Wide receivers score their points per game or above their points per game on average more often, and their points per game tends to be higher outside of the top five at both positions. And so wide receivers typically tend to be better flexes. So honestly, that's what I told him, but ultimately the truth is I don't know, because it could be that Tyler Lockett goes off for 30 points for the next 3 weeks, and it could be that James Robinson goes off for 30 points for the next 3 weeks. We're really just casting the die at this point once you get into the playoffs and hope your players are not the ones that suffer variance. Strengths of schedule aside, which I really just think is voodoo, that's where we're at. You just got to make the best decisions you can and honestly accept that we really have no control over it. Well, that's where my head's at. So if I'm in a win now situation, here are the types of players I'm really looking for on my league. Where are they at? Are they on a losing team? Are they in a position where I might be able to trade for them to increase my chances of winning? Now, obviously the ones at the top are running backs that are scoring the most points, but because we're trying to look for value in most cases, especially if we're trying to win now, so we're probably giving up some future value one way or the other, but we want to limit the damage. So ultimately the answer is, yeah, go trade for Najee Harris or go trade for DeAndre Swift, but send those offers, sure, but you're less likely to get them anywhere where you would want to trade for them. However, James Robinson, Leonard Fournette, and Miles Gaskin could be on teams that aren't winning right now and looking to the future, and therefore you could work out a deal with them that was reasonable for both sides and improves your chances to win, even if it's just to add that running back three behind your other two studs. Similar pattern to wide receivers. Obviously, you trade for the best ones, but if you're winning now, I think some interesting values might be Mike Evans, Tyler Lockett. That's why it was a difficult trade, because both players are on the same list, and Keenan Allen. One, because you might get a slight age discount. I'm not as worried about age. I think all of those players are going to be good next year anyway in Dynasty, but they could well, because they've had up and down performances. Keenan Allen struggled to start the year. Mike Evans and Tyler Lockett have both been up and down. That team may be less likely to be in strong contention right now. And yet all three of those make incredibly strong starts or flex plays throughout the playoffs. Without looking at strengths of schedule, that's just their volume and their points production pattern. That's those three players I'm interested in. Now, you are obviously coming up with more names like Cooper Kupp and Jamar Chase, I guess. Yeah, but they don't stand out to me as players that are more or less likely to be on teams that are willing to trade them because they're getting older and might be less likely to be in playoff contention. But break down your league. Is there one of those players that you prefer more than those three that you think you might be able to get a decent trade on right now for one reason or another? That's on a team that's not winning. That's why looking at your league is really important. Two last names to throw out if you're really trying to win at wide receiver. I think Deebo and Marquise Brown, again, still discounted. People don't like them as top 12 wide receivers. Now, is that because of the nature of the way they produce? They're not Julio Jones's or Antonio Brown's or Calvin Johnson's. They're not typical top 12 wide receivers. Yeah, there's a risk there, but I don't think they're going to stop being good or scoring fantasy points for the next 3 years, even if they don't keep up top 12 production. And so you've got a little bit of a floor there to whatever trade you're able to work out. And right now, they're producing top 12 numbers. Marcus Brown has had a slight dip recently, but I think he was back up this week, if memory serves. I haven't been able to grind that data out, so I can't exactly remember what he just scored. But both putting up top 12 numbers consistently this year. I don't care that Deebo rushes a lot. I don't care that Marcus Brown is skinny or that Rashad Bateman's on the team, but and is also good. And even though they're young, and so you don't have that fear or that worry with trading for them, they might slightly be underrated as top 12 wide receivers, especially if they're on a team that isn't, 8-3 or how many weeks have there been? Screw it. Isn't in playoff contention. They might be more willing to trade them. And so I think if you're looking at wide receivers, they both make interesting candidates. Shopping list number 2. That was a drop. If you're winning later, players that just stand out to me, they're kind of all buys, but I'm just going to say if you're winning later, so I can have an all buy list later, because I know age concerns more people than me, so trying to be fair, more if you're just really down in the dumps, you're definitely not winning this year, or maybe not even making the playoffs. I think some interesting players are getting discounted now for slightly different reasons, but I have less concern on them most, and I still think are good, would be Michael Thomas, AJ Brown, and Amari Cooper. Now, AJ Brown, because of injuries and the fear that he is now injury prone, he's going to keep being injury prone, and I just fade that noise, because I definitely don't think we know. I have asked a few people who tried to break down injuries, and the best response I got was, it's honestly way too early. These injuries seem unrelated to each other, and he hasn't been playing a long time in the NFL, really, at this point. So, probably not, because most players aren't injury-prone. That tends to just be false signal. But also, based on what we've seen, there's no reason to think he's more or less likely to keep being injured. Which is great, because that's how I like to play injuries anyway. And AJ Brown has 20 points per game, top 5 wide receiver upside. He's even built that way in terms of his height and his BMI and his speed and all that great stuff. But you can get him. Now, again, the other caveat to making trades is you're not, I mean, sure, if your league sucks, send a first round pick for AJ Brown. If you get it, great. But based on a Twitter thread I went through recently, the basic price seemed to be a really good young wide receiver and a first round pick. So you're trading Deontay Johnson, maybe throwing in another wide receiver that's of slightly less value, and a first round pick. It's not nothing. You're definitely taking a risk on those injuries. I just am very willing to do that for that level of upside, and the concern being injuries. I don't care. Michael Thomas, the concern really isn't injury. The concern is age, and fade that noise. Again, a wide receiver who doesn't just have top five upside is a top five wide receiver every time he's been on the field in his career, Drew Brees or no Drew Brees. So, yeah, Michael Thomas just seems like an obvious buy. Trying to come up with players that fit these criteria, or the way I look for players at least, and that run the gamut of upside, I think Amari Cooper is easily a top 5 wide receiver. He has top 12 wide receiver upside on a week-to-week basis, even if not a seasonal basis. And with the rise of CeeDee Lamb, who is definitely an all, by the way. All by the way. That was a word and a sentence right there. I think Amari Cooper might be slightly underrated. His numbers overall are slightly disappointing, especially for Amari Cooper this year. I don't think that's all just the rise of CeeDee Lamb, because that's not how volume works. But he's got 14.7 points per game, which is much more of a top 24 wide receiver than it is a top 12, as we always kind of kept hoping for Debo. Right now, he's at wide receiver 27, based on PPR points scored as of the week before you're hearing this, not the weekend of games you just saw. So he's outside the top 24. He's in his seventh year, be in his eighth year next year. He's getting older, and yet I don't think his talent's going anywhere. I don't think his 12.6% expected points share this year is at all concerning. His ADOT's still around 12. His yards per touchdown is still pretty decent. And he's in fact overperformed his expected points this year. I think he's definitely an all buy for the right price. What kind of trade? I mean, depending on what team he's on, I honestly think Amari Cooper might be attainable for first plus value. Does that mean you send your first for Amari Cooper? No, the draft's getting closer and closer. And again, like we talked about last week, just trading draft picks isn't necessarily always the best solution. But look for that kind of value. I'll come to some of the players that I think are on that I would be willing to trade them at their current value list later, but I would look for players on your team, highlight who you think you're lower on or someone else might be higher on, add them with a second round pick, and go get someone like Amari Cooper. On this win later list as well, I also have players like CeeDee Lamb, but that's too high. I was trying to stay as high a value as possible, not just to throw out cheap. He only costs a third round pick options, and so this is meant to be a high list. But like, CeeDee Lamb is literally someone I've traded for when I've decided to start focusing on next year more. And I sent Najee Harris, which is a pretty significant piece, pretty much ended any chance I had this season to get CeeDee Lamb. Slightly underperforming recently, But not really. Again, he's had, what is it, a 14.7 expected point share. He is the dominant target leader in Dallas now. He's had a 20% target share. Amari Cooper's 19% target share. He took over in his second year. Looks like he might even break out into the top 12 if he can get back on track this year. Currently, he's wide receiver 13, or he was as of last week. It's an amazing breakout year for CeeDee Lamb. Might be slightly underrated. Again, because I think his performances have been down recently. At least that's what I got in my head. Let me just scan across some of his numbers here. Yeah, last week in week 11, he scored 4.4 points. In week 9, he scored 4.3, bracketed by 17 and 28 point games. So that up and down performance tends to worry people. And I just, that's kind of the volatility of wide receiver. And it doesn't concern me too much. I think CeeDee Lamb's fully buy. But ultimately, I don't think he's getting discounted. He's just definitely a player I'm targeting in win now. Now, Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson should also be on this list. And I have a player targets section to my rank sheet for Patreons. I'm literally updating and I've got it tiered that we talked about before. If you're interested in a broader or actual physical copy of my the type of players I'm looking for in leagues and why in what situations. And all three of those players are on it. But I think of the group, CeeDee Lamb is the one that might come or might have a lower value because we're not thinking of him yet necessarily. I think we really will this offseason in the Jefferson and Chase value band. And I really think he belongs there. So anyway, I also have Cortland Sutton, who's still definitely at value. Again, it's not a this year play, although I do think his numbers could bounce up a little this year. He's underperforming in terms of touchdowns and the number of yards he's had. He's had a few lower volume games because of the value, or the volume has been put more on running back in recent weeks for Denver. And this week, I happen to know, scanning across Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, again, basically split the offense. But I'm perhaps not as concerned long term, despite Cortland Sutton being in year 4 now, which feels like a long time ago. By the time we look at next year and he's in year 5 and we've got one top 24 season in his second year, and he struggled against Tim Patrick this year and struggled against Tim Patrick in his first year, if he's valued anywhere near valued, not tradable for a first round pick, I think he's an interesting win later piece. Like we were talking about last week, young players I'm less concerned about or I've seen positive production from can work as discount first round picks. And so if I can get him at that value, not necessarily spending a full first round pick or getting a second with a foot or some sort of balance there, I think he's an interesting candidate. I also mentioned Chase Claypool on the same list and Brandon Ayuk last week. All those players would fit in right here. If I'm not trying to win right now, although Brandon Ayuk's continued increase in opportunity over the last 3 weeks might take him out of this list and make him more of a win now, or an all-buy. I think he's interesting. I'm putting T. Higgins here as well on this win later wide receiver shopping list. Because, yeah, I believe it, but he just had a good week. And honestly, everyone's been saying buy T. Higgins low for so long. I honestly believe that trade's impossible. I think anyone you try and trade with is going to be like, no, it's by T. Higgins season. I don't believe it. He's got a 16% opportunity score this year, which is amazing, especially right next to Jamar Chase. He had a great rookie season. This is his second year, and he's having another great season. Honestly, he's a little unlucky in touchdowns. He's got 223 yards per touchdown from the week before this one. And the average for the position is around 170, so production could even be a little higher. He's being a little unlucky with touchdowns, but also because Jamar Chase is being a little over-lucky. I know the word lucky doesn't really apply here with touchdowns, but that's the term I prefer. And yeah, those are my, if I'm looking later, I'm not winning now. Those are the wide receivers. I want to find out where they are, what that team situation is, and if there's a potential window for me to send a trade offer more than just what I think of those players. Now, I thought about putting Juju on this list, but the value is just too low. That's not sticking to the high end. You know, you should be able to get a deal for Juju for, some kind of package deal. It's not really what we're looking for here. Now, in terms of the players that you should be buying in all situations, like winning, losing, it doesn't really matter. These players are going to increase in value. I really expect more from them going forward. And I think the value is only going to increase. Rashad Bateman, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Elijah Moore, Rondell Moore, and Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams being the only running back on that list, because again, as we've talked about before, I strongly suspect there's going to be a heavy, oh no, there's no young white running backs left, and Javonte Williams going to vault into the top five if he already hasn't, in consensus, or how, you know, the people in your leagues feel. And so, you know, there's no value here. You have to play full value, and if you're not winning, it's a little difficult to do that for a running back. Fully admit that. But I want to throw his name out, because everyone's going to be styling on how they knew Javonte. Honestly, people are going to tell you next year that they were telling you to buy Javonte Williams, and you might well forget that that's just honestly a silly thing to say. I mean, check, sure, send an offer. But I don't think anyone's, you know, not aware that Javonte Williams is a top five running back value next year, and in a year where I think running back value outside those top five is going to be significantly lowered. I think the rookie RB1 from this rookie class could make, depending on who it is and what his production looks like and how highly drafted it is, he could easily make the top five list this year. So just throwing it out there for you. I think on that list, by the way, Rondell Moore makes the most interesting case, because his production's weird and his ADOT is like 1.2, and he's been actually exceedingly unlucky with touchdowns. Like, he hasn't scored enough touchdowns from the number of yards he's creating, but his ADOT's really low and he's using a particular way. It actually is really interesting that he's able to score enough yards to make his touchdowns look unlucky here. But his target share is 15%. He's getting a 10% expected points share. I don't care that he doesn't play like Calvin Johnson, or however we're all idealizing how rookies should play. Ultimately, he's a player who's exceptional what he can do. The team is using him in a really heavy role for a rookie, if you're not Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson. And this is all positive. Going forward, we should expect more from him like we do with Waddle and Chase. But because of some weird nature to how the position or the way he plays wide receiver, if it even is such a thing as wide receiver, and might mean people are lower on him, especially because he's not one of these players that we can start every week like we can Jalen Waddle right now and Jamar Chase and even Devontae Smith through some weeks. And Rashad Bateman's just would be that, but everyone's been crying for a breakout game every single week, and so I just think it's kept the hype way too high. His expected point share is higher than Rondell Moore's, so is his ADOT, obviously, at 9.4. But, he's on the all-buy list. I will buy Rashad Bateman at value. I'll give you two firsts for any of these players quite happily. All that value, plus a second, plus a player that you like on my team who's not in this value range. They just are having incredible rookie seasons, and I'm interested in all of them. Rondell Moore and maybe Devontae Smith are the most interesting, because I think people might be lower on them than the others. Bateman because of the hype. And Waddle and Chase, because they're already scoring over 14 points per game and therefore are regular starters for us. And so go find out where they are in your leagues. Pretty much in all situations, send offers. It's the other necessary part of this. Or getting any kind of trade momentum gone, to be honest. All right, players, I just want to say, see where they're at. Go look at what team they're on and see what situation your team's in. Do you have any extra players you'd be willing to package up, or extra draft capital you really don't think you need, or you think you could trade away at a high value right now because of the way your league works? And just go take a look at where they are on rosters, because I think they're interesting players based on the value trends I expect moving on from here to what next season. And honestly, it's an unusual list for me. Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb. There's a lot of running backs on a list that normally I wouldn't have. And it's just because they're the same trend. They're aging running backs. Just go see what team they're on. Saquon Barkley's been injured for a while. Christian McCaffrey just got put on IR. Derrick Henry's now injured as well. Nick Chubb's been up and down. Although he did just recently return, but he's aging, and if these players are on win now teams, they could be willing to jettison them at a value right now in order to score points. If you have some running backs who could really help do that for them, they may be open to that trade if you're not winning now. And if you are winning now, I still think it's worth exploring, because especially from here till next season, because I think the value on these great players is going to drop slightly more than it should. And the other two players that are slightly unusual is Travis Kelce, targeting tight ends. Typically isn't my thing unless they're on the come up or I think they're undervalued. But Travis Kelce, again, he's getting old. George Kittle isn't necessarily getting old, but where this hasn't been an ultra-dominant season for him, I think he could fall. Just see where they're at in your leagues. Do you think that's a situation on that roster versus your roster in that league that you could send an offer that actually benefits you if you're a little less put off by a slightly down year for George Kittle? Because it's not really a slightly down year. He's going 13 points per game, a 22% target share per game. Like, he's still George Kittle, believe it or not. And the other one's Jontae Johnson, just because we continue to underrate. And now I'm consciously trying not to. The amount of volume he's able to soak up, and it's not because the offense is bad or Big Ben's arm is crappy. Deontay Johnson's doing really interesting things. He's got a 19% expected point share. And remember, Chase Claypool has actually been playing well. That's why he's on the other list. Juju is another conversation. I don't think he's been playing badly, but he definitely has been pushed out of this offense one way or the other. And need to break that down for more this offseason, especially considering how many rosters I have Juju on. But DeAndre Johnson hasn't suffered from any of that, despite Najee Harris basically being the engine in the offense, and Chase Claypool playing well and having significant target share behind him, and Juju Smith-Schuster still being there, he's getting targets, and DeAndre Johnson is still this huge part of the offense, this terrible offense, but still. I think we need a hat tip for this year for three players. It is an amazing second breakout year for Deontay Johnson. And again, there's just a weird note to how we like him. He's scoring 17 points per game, but he's missed some games, I believe, and he's in Pittsburgh, and people can be concerned about the quarterback future, which is definitely a feature, but not really a feature for Jontae Johnson, the same way Terry McLaurin can do it with pretty much anyone, apparently, although they're both doing it in very different ways. I think he's an interesting potential value, depending on what team he's on in your league and what you may have to offer for him. So I just spot check those players. The other ones I've got on the just see where there are list is Pat Freiermuth, because he broke out, then he didn't, and then he's got a huge role, but he didn't score points. Just so we're clear, like, Kyle Pitts is having one of those amazing rookie seasons. Pat Freiermuth has already had what is pretty amazing rookie season for a tight end, and he's huge. People are going to love him when he starts scoring points more regularly. Just see what team he's on and where that owner's head is at with Pat Freiermuth, whether, if I'm saying that name right, I'm sorry if I'm not, just because the production's been a little spotty. His usage has definitely blown up. It's definitely increased over the weeks. He's earned and created a significant role for himself. Yeah, last week he scored, or week 11, he scored 11 points. It's 6 points in week 10, 21 points in week 9, 14 points in week 8. It's not been what people expected Kyle Pitts, or even Kyle Pitts' production. This is actually really good. This is a really good rookie, especially for a tight end. And so I would just, I think he's worth just finding out what team he's on and how that owner is feeling if you sent a decent offer. Again, we're getting to the type of things I'm trying to sell if they're on your roster, which is the way I would approach sending offers anyway. Anyone else on this list? No, I think that's it. All right, so here's just a... And I really did this by ear. You know, I went through and highlighted a few players for myself. I haven't got some secret metric that is telling me which players to target and which not. They're just players that are generally on the top of my mind when I'm looking through leagues, and I'm trying to explain why, essentially. And the ones that come to mind when I think about the players, if they're on my roster, I think it's a really good time to try to use them to trade for players that I prefer moving forward, whether it's value or age or whatever else, moving forward. And some of them should accept you because I'm trying to stick to the highest value ones I can find. Telling you, yeah, I would sell Myles Gaskin means nothing to you, and it shouldn't, because Myles Gaskin is a win-now running back who's scoring points and is pretty good. But he's lower drafted in Miami, there's a whole new draft, and his value is definitely going to drop even if he goes off for 20 points every game for the rest of the season. Saying I would use him to trade for Rashad Bateman is Yeah, sure. I don't think you need, if that's possible, you would probably figure that out for yourself. So hero players, I think, are rightly valued highly based on what we've seen this year or over their career, but I'm slightly more bearish on, I think, than ADP or the market or most people in my leagues, if they were on my roster. The first one's the Kadarius Toney. I don't think I really need to upset people in my Discord any more than I already am by mentioning this. You know who you are, Connor. I don't mean it bad. He's had some incredible games, and the skill set translating to the NFL with some of the things he's been able to do is real positive. But overall, it's going to look like a bad rookie season compared to most. Bad rookie seasons tend to see a fall in ADP and a lower likelihood of ever having a good fantasy season moving forward. If nothing else, he could be an amazing weapon and not be an amazing fantasy weapon. And we can find a middle ground there together. Okay, Connor and Tony Truthers. Having said that, if no one values him at all, then I don't think you have, these aren't, you definitely have to trade these players away. I would with Tony. But yeah, you don't have to. But I've seen, especially when talking about that, what I ask people, what are you trading for AJ Brown? I saw a few offers where Tony was used in the trade, and he's being used essentially as other young wide receivers from this class. Like, he's a two first value. And if it's Tony plus a first versus Bateman plus a first, Tony all day. You know? Like, so if I can package Kadarius Toney with draft capital with another good young wide receiver and go get one of the other players, maybe it's not AJ Brown for you, maybe it's CeeDee Lamb, maybe it's Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, I'm all in on that. I think it's a good time. I think he's done some astonishing things people should be impressed with and therefore rightly value him highly. I'm bearish on that continuing to be the case, and so I'm interested in using this window. Sorry, I'm there. I'm Marshall. We give up too soon narratives are going to surround Marshall probably a lot. But you know where my head's at on this. One, I see a rookie profile coming to fruition. People that liked his rookie profile from college are going to start feeling some sort of way. He's got draft capital. It was just a rookie season. We give up too soon. When in fact, none of those things are true. His rookie numbers are actually bad. When they were good, they were basically conference and team average, not above, for his age. I hope he breaks expectations. I always do. I'm rooting for players, every player, even Tony, even Marshall, to beat expectations. But I'm just a grinder, man. I don't know the future. I'm not a magic magician or expert football breaker downer or whatever they call themselves. I just know what is normal and not normal and how often things happen and don't happen. And this is a continual cycle of Marshall having higher value than the chances of him being good for fantasy in the NFL have ever really shown to be the case without doing some sort of adjustment, which has never worked out, like per game or only looking at a 3-game sample or only looking at his best plays or his potential if you can maintain this best play for every play. So, and then his rookie season is definitely subpar. He's a healthy scratch this week. Could he break that cycle? Michael Pittman had a fairly bad rookie season recently, and this year he's having an amazing rookie season. A sophomore season, yes. You don't trade him for nothing. Like Tony, he's on this list not because I think he shouldn't be valued, but because I am bearish on that value. So if I can trade him for what he should be valued at right now, which is still a first plus, but less than those other rookies, not that you're necessarily putting draft capital into trades, that was just a rough value line, then yeah, I'm willing. I think it's a really good idea to trade Terrence Marshall now and through this offseason, just because that's where the odds lie. Yeah, if you're not, you don't have to. Again, he should be rightly valued. He is highly drafted. He did come from a good conference. He did suffer a lot of injuries, and maybe there's more to what he could have done in college if he didn't have such a limited sample. That's all true. Again, I'm just not a great football breaker downer, so I'm sticking with what happens most often. James Robinson turns up on these lists a lot. Yeah, you should treat James Robinson as if he has no value. But win now. I'm a little higher on him because he's an undrafted free agent. He's had two top 12 running back. Oh, I think he's going to have two top 12 running back seasons at this point. He's like a discount Arian Foster. But honestly, yeah, if you can package up James Robinson to get someone that you are much more certain has more value and is going to produce, especially for one of these wide receivers they've mentioned on those type of lists, yeah, it's a good idea. Do I definitely do it? No, in the same way that I don't think you have to definitely sell Tony and Marshall, I definitely wouldn't always just sell James Robinson. I'm higher on him than most. But if you can get a trade that makes sense, yeah, now's a good time to trade him. Same with all those other win-now running backs, actually. That's another note I put in there. The Fournette, the Gaskins, the Darrell Hendersons. He should have been a win-now running back that you should trade for as well. I like them all to a different degree. I like Henderson and Robinson a little bit more moving forward than most. I'm a little bullish on them moving forward. But ultimately, if you can get a good trade that you're for a player you feel much more confident in moving forward, those running backs are pretty much, yeah, they're players I all put in trades to try and get something done that I want to do from the overall value and makeup of my team, or to target a player that I really like the ones I mentioned earlier. Michael Carter, another running back, New York Jets. But in this case, a young running back who's had an amazing, this is a really good rookie season. I think his value is going to fall, probably to where he might even be a running back I'm interested in targeting, just because of the way I expect the running back position to flow. Older running backs falling in ADP because of age, running backs falling in general because of all the injuries we've suffered this year. Michael Carter recently struggling with injury and being more of a receiving back. He's not thick, he doesn't have that steak that Katie liked to see when she came on the podcast, or whatever she called it, from the Under the Helmet World podcast. Don't know why I called it a world. There you go. So I think Michael Carter, if you can extract full value as a really good running back who increased his value after being a second round pick this rookie year to, because he proved he could earn the role, do the job, and score fantasy points, I think he's an interesting player to throw in trades right now, especially for when they, well, no, he's injured now, but, so just ignore that, especially, I guess. Michael Pittman, sorry, I'm selling Michael Pittman, just rehash what I just said about Tony and Marshall. Again, it's not that he shouldn't be valued high. He looks like he's going to have a top 12 season in his second year. It's amazing. Zachary was right, finally. After betting on every wide receiver that the Colts have drafted, finally he gets one right. Just joking, sake. But, again, I'm a little bearish. If you want some numbers as to why, I mean, Pittman's target share is basically the target share of a wide receiver 2 on any other team. He's a wide receiver 1. Obviously, I'm not saying Pascal is better anymore. But it's 22%, 14% expected point share. He's having a great season. He's definitely proved he can play in this league. I just think he's a top 24 wide receiver. And the way some people think that about Marquise Brown and Deebo Samuel. And I think there might be some players in your leagues willing to value him as a top 12 wide receiver because he's currently doing that. And I think that's ultimately fair, but I am bearish on it, so I'm willing to trade him away. Other players moving quickly. Yeah, I mentioned all running backs. You know, Cordarrelle Patterson, no one needs to be told to trade him, dude. Calvin Ridley, I just wanted to throw him out because I will definitely want to trade for him at some point, but right now it feels like we're still wondering if it's a short-term thing. Maybe he's back next year. This is all guesswork. I definitely don't know. I want Calvin Ridley on my roster when he and if he comes back, but just by the way that statement and the whole situation played, I think he's got no plans for when he comes back. Could that mean he's back next year? Yeah. But I'm willing to play it as a longer term thing right now, because that's what he said. That's definitely the sentiment that he put in his statement. And I think sticker shock right now of that sudden value drop, now might be a good time to get out, but I think his value is going to keep falling. So again, it depends what the trade is. But if he's still carrying, you know, really good value in your league, now's the time I'd put him on that list. Laviska Shenault, I think's had another good game this week. Again, I don't need to go over why I don't like DJ Chark or Laviska Shenault much. I think they're good players. I definitely wouldn't buy into these situations. I definitely haven't seen enough signal from them to suggest that either are going to be long-term consistent fantasy assets. They're just good players in the NFL, and that's wonderful, but not for me. And there still might be residual LaVisca and DJ Chark love. And if there is, if they're at that, you know, barely a first-round pick value, I'm willing to trade them, definitely, for sure. I will put them in deals in the hopes that the team I'm trading with still remembers how highly they were valued this offseason when I told you to sell them then. Sorry, small flex. I've got two other notes here because they always tends to be things I end up saying in the offseason. But right now, if you're looking to trade, put players into trades, It's relevant. Pretty much always sell running backs at value. Win now, win later, doesn't matter. Running backs and value, if you're getting good value for where they should be valued in your mind or ADP or however you want to judge it, running backs are always a good sell just because of the shorter term nature of their value window, even if their production is a little underrated about how long it is or consistent it is when they get to a certain age. Running backs are just always a good sell, especially this time of the year and then through the off season. We'll see how the market reacts to when and if we can start investing in some. Doesn't necessarily, again, like all of these, doesn't mean you have to trade them away. It's, I would think about adding them as fair value pieces to get trades done for some of these other players that are more interested in targeting long-term or even short-term from the wide receiver list. And also sell all top five QBs. Does that mean I'm definitely trading Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and right now? No. But top 5 QB value, even in 1 QB leagues, tends to be a little wonky. And maintaining top 5 production is actually not quite as consistent as you would think at quarterback. Jalen Hurts is a top 5 quarterback right now, and no one's valuing him there. Especially if you're in Superflex, and I didn't do these lists as if Superflex. Maybe that's a thing we can come back to when I get a guest on, I don't know. But, I don't know. Selling high-value quarterbacks is always something I'm willing to do if I can get that high value in return. Like, you're adding me, you're getting Jalen Hurts or Tua Tagovailoa or some of these quarterbacks I would want to argue, and extra stuff. It's always something I want to explore. Normally, it's only relevant in Superflex leagues, but I thought I'd throw it out here on the types of things I'm putting on and in trades. Notice I didn't say all my picks. All my picks are normally always for sale. They're always available for trades. I will be willing to add them to trades. So should you. But I definitely feel there is some... The conversations I've had on Twitter have made me realize how often we get told to trade picks. And like, picks have value. They do increase in value. You should use them to get good players. Definitely shouldn't throw them away as much as we might be led to believe by the amount of content telling us to trade for this player and that player, and we're valuing them in terms of picks, even if we don't necessarily mean trade those picks. So, yeah, they're for sale, they're on the list, but it's not my first go-to, especially this time of year. Now's the time of year you can be a little bearish on trading picks, or because everyone's going to start being bearish on trading for picks. It's also the point where tricks will start to matriculate value in a normal year. I think 2022 is going to be a little weird, but we'll see how we feel about this draft class. It's really going to have a lot to do with how tradable picks are or aren't. But value should continue to tick up from here. So now's the time to start getting at least a little bearish about adding that first instead of a second and a player. Know what I mean? Anyway, I hope some of that was useful. Again, I'm not necessarily saying trade for this player, trade for that player, but those are the ones that occur to me when I'm scanning through my leagues, and the others occur to me when I see them on particular roster situations, or I have certain values or certain players I'm willing to trade or not trade on my own roster that affects who I'm targeting in my league. Anyway, I think there's a little more nuance. I think that's a little more helpful. Or it's a more helpful way of thinking for me when I'm looking for trade potential when I go to one league or the other, to just go explore rosters and see which on these types of depending on what my situation is, are available, or who might be available and who might be discounted a little bit more. And you should have different lists. You should be bearish and bullish on different players, and that's cool too. So let me know who I missed, or who you are more bearish or bullish on, or, you know, actual words, not these stupid terms I must have heard on a podcast somewhere, and now I think I'm in the stock market. Anyway, let me know. Hopefully the extended episode with a whole bunch of different lists, and I think the sell list is interesting. We get told to buy a lot, but who are you trying to package up, or what types of things are you trying to package up to do some of that that's not just trade your first round pick? So hopefully that's interesting. Let me know what you think at PA Howdy on Twitter, or, you know, shout at your podcast device real loud. I can actually hear that. I can't. But it wouldn't be cool if it could. Anyway, or talk to me on Wednesday. Wednesday stream, I'll be happy to talk to you about it then too. In the meantime, thanks, good luck, and I hope you're in the playoffs. Bye.
Yeah. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the plays, no. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Picking my nose, don't really know if I like that. Picking their brains, got different lanes, but I like that. Picking these guys, all of these times, all of these nice stats. Picking apart, the film is an art, always a fight. Back and forth, there is no order, they disorder more and more. Because the players ain't no older, they some hoarders or some mortars. Dropping bombs without no borders, they got that I like Mordor. Peak grinding numbers like molars, I don't know anymore. I am at a crossroads. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the plays, no. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the plays, no. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical.